Amen. We will be in Proverbs chapter 8 tonight. Proverbs chapter 8. Good to see all of you here in this midweek service. Thankful the Lord that He has sent visitors our way. I hope you enjoy yourself as you visit with us tonight. We have the youth meeting coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday. The team coming from Venture Faith will be arriving tomorrow night. The Camp on the Go will start at 10:30 Friday, end at 5:30 on Friday night, Friday evening, and also on Saturday, same time, 10:30 to 5:30. Lunch will be provided, and if you're 6 to graduation, you're welcome to come and be a part, take part in the activities. If you're older than the graduation and you would like to be involved, and maybe there's a task that has not been filled that you could fill in that area. I tell you, one thing that you can do is be praying that the Lord would save a soul this through this. At this time, I know we have three churches that's going to be coming, and so they'll be traveling and getting here, and so we'll pray. There may be more, but those are three that have told us. But it would be a great thing to be able to report Sunday morning that we have some souls saved here this weekend. So you can pray that through the preaching and teaching and the lessons that somebody's heart would be touched, and maybe they'd give their life to Christ this year, weekend right here on the property. That'd be a blessing. If you can't do anything, if you're working and you can't make it, or be a help, you can pray. You certainly can pray. So be praying to that end, that God would show Himself strong and the Holy Spirit of God would bring conviction, and that the speakers, Brother Chris Burke and Brother Keith Smith, will be able to preach with power and conviction. And we're looking forward to God doing a great work. Don't forget, Sunday morning and Sunday night, Brother Chris Burke is going to be with us, and he's going to be doing messages through chalk art. I'm not talented enough to even write my name and preach a message, so that alone is pretty impressive to me. So looking forward to that. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 13. Over the next coming Wednesdays, however long it takes, we're going to look at seven different areas of sin over the next probably 14 weeks. It's probably going to take us maybe that long, maybe 10, but surely 10, no less than 10, but probably 14, depending on how things go. And tonight we're going to start with the sin of pride. The sin of pride. Proverbs 8:13, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate." Well, that put in some pretty good company right there. Pride is. The evil way, arrogancy, the Lord says He hates it. I think it's something we need to look into, because it's easy to get caught up in it. And so, a lot of times, people don't even realize they're on that slippery slope of pride. So, well, I thought pride was up. The Holy Spirit comes before the fall. You will end in a pain of hurt if you ride the kite of pride. Pride is sin. It is sin. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you would look over in Proverbs 21:4, Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 4. Just so we have a good understanding of pride, look what it says. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 4. "And a high look, and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin." So how in the world, plowing of the wicked? Just a high look. God says it's sin. Pride is sin. And we need to be careful that we have a good understanding of what it is. so that we just this year, a proud heart and being in a way that we think more highly of ourselves, it's going to lead us into other areas and other falls and other failures. But pride is sin. And pride will get to the point where it will just bind you up. It'll be all about you. How many of you know anybody today that everything is about them? I mean, they've been everywhere. They've done everything. They know everybody. And if they don't know them, they know their cousin. And their cousin sent them a text. I mean, they're just bound up in themselves. Look over in Psalms chapter 73. Psalms chapter number 73. Verse number 6. Therefore, pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. The sin of pride will bind you. You know what makes somebody... We've heard in the past, I don't know, past year or two, there's been several well-known pastors, well-known men of God, some of them pastoring churches way up into the thousands. At least over the last 5 years, I know of seven myself that I've heard about. I've known a couple personally that... was found, two were found dead in a hotel with cocaine still in their nose. You pastor a place of 5,000, 7,000 folks. What would cause a man to think he could take a trip somewhere? Tell you, his pride. Look at me, I'll never get caught. It'll never be me. I can't get away from this. And it binds you. Pride binds you. It just chains you up. It is a sin, and it's going to bind you. It's going to put you in bondage. See, sometimes we think about sin, and you know, this is a midweek service. I don't want to beat us up tonight. I want to encourage you a little bit. Well, you know, we label sins that, you know, are gross, you know, or outward, ugly. Pride is that. It's just well looked down in there and it binds you. Just gets a grip of you. Makes you think you're more than you are. You put confidence all in the flesh and you just start... What would cause a 60-year-old plus man to think for 1 minute he could do anything with a 20-year-old woman? But it happens. Pride. What makes... Over the last 15 years, we have had 45, 48, 38-year-old teachers get fired for having relations with students. 13, 14-year-olds. What? Pride. It binds you. Binds you up. Proverbs 16 again. Let's go back over to Proverbs. Let's see what God says about this in Proverbs 16, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart, listen to what it says, this is strong, is an abomination to the Lord. that is strong different. When God says that it is an abomination for man to lie with mankind, we hear a million amens. I mean, we get the handkerchief, we flag it. Well, what do we skip over these verses like this? The abomination that God looks upon that is no different than the abomination that He looks upon a proud heart. I just don't understand why we're not much more careful with this issue. I mean, pride is an abomination to God. We need to be careful. We need to guard ourselves, guard our hearts. We're going to find where pride comes from. But I just want you to know, what is pride? Pride is a sin. Pride binds us. And then it brings a chastisement of God that it is an abomination in the sight of God for a man or a woman to be lifted up in pride. I believe it kind of lends itself to breaking the first commandment of the ten. I'm not talking the first and the greatest. The first commandment, Jesus said, is love the Lord our God with all of our heart. We understand that. But that we would have no other God. Whenever we're lifted up in pride, we become a God to ourselves. And no wonder it's abominable. Whenever that which is inside of us takes the place of our Heavenly Father. So where does pride come from? First, I'll tell you, it comes from false wisdom. Look over in Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. You know, there's all kind of wisdom. And God says for us, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and God will give it to us liberally. But then he explains there's wisdom from above, and then there's wisdom that's earthly and sensual. There's a difference. And I think too many times we rely upon that sensual, earthly wisdom that is here, that's gained, and it is appealing to the flesh. It's no wonder that one of the first classes that our high school students take in college is humanities. It's almost like I thought it should have been, you know, remedial math after going through the systems of math that we have been taught for the last several years. Should have been, you know, remedial math, should have been freshman English. No, one of the first classes they sign you up for in a regular college, you know, not a technical college, it might spill open there soon. Humanities. That false sense of wisdom. You know, they get there to teach the kids that, you know, your truth is truth. I've ever heard that term till this past month. Well, it's my truth. What do you mean, my truth? Truth is or is not. It's not mine, it's not yours. Truth stands upon its own legs. It doesn't need to be propped up with things. It is truth. Well, I just look at it and in my truth, it's this way. Where did they learn that? Well, it's truth to me. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number... Let's look at... Let's read verse 22, and then we're going to skip down to 28. We're just going to read verse 22. Romans chapter number 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And this is how this process happens. This is how they became fools. Look down at verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things Wait a minute, Pastor. You skipped all that talk about a man burning with a man. What was it? Yeah, we covered that a while ago, right? We're talking about pride now. We already know that homosexuality is abominable to God, but so is pride. So we're skipping past that because I didn't want you to get caught up and think I was bypassing that I changed my mind on. No, God hadn't changed his mind, so I'm not going to change mine. So verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, remember, false wisdom, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with the unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, what's that next one? Proud. Boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Where did it all start? Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. You see, we're a country that's full of pride. We're churches that are full of pride. And it comes from this false wisdom. Well, when we knew God, our country knew God. Our country honored God and lifted up God. Churches across America that was founded on biblical teachings and preachings that said preachers and missionaries around this globe are no longer to be found. There's countless of churches that were God honored. You know we're closing close to 4,000 churches a year in America across all denominations. We're starting 1,000. Yeah, but preacher, praise God, we're starting 1,000. Okay, let's do this. You give me $3,000 and I'll give you $1,000. Pretty good deal, right? It's not a good deal. It's not a good deal at all. But there's churches that are closing around this world. I mean, closed to churches. J. Frank Morris's church, he pastored two churches at one time. I don't even think he can find them. What's the one up in Chattanooga? Tennessee Temple? Send out great preachers. We can go on and on and on. Countless of churches. Because when they knew God, they retained not God, their knowledge. See, it goes. You know family members that were faithful, loved God, served God, was always in the house of God, doing whatever they could for the things of God, and not just here, but other churches where you've been, and now they can't be found. Matter of fact, you look upon some of them, and the Bible rightly declares their character right there in the latter parts of what we read. Being filled with all unrighteousness. How many of you knew of years gone past? I'm not trying to get you to pick at people. I want you to understand that you are no different. Only by the grace of God, you're not where they're at. It's only by God's grace that we're not on that slippery slope headed down there. Pride is real, dear friend. But how many people you know have gone past in your lifetime? There was 8 preachers from my home church that surrendered to God and went on to the mission field and started church and pastoring. And during that time, right now, there's only 2 of us left. Me and another. You look at some of them, and when it says right here, with all unrighteousness, and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and lusciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. Good night. You can't even have a good conversation unless you're ready to debate. Today, I can't have an opinion. You can't have an opinion. We're going to debate this out, and I'm going to win because your opinion don't matter. I mean, we've lost it, dear friend. Why? Because we here in America and in our families and our churches, we're not retaining God in our knowledge. Not retaining God at all. So where does pride come from? False wisdom. We have convinced ourselves in this nation that this is an archaic, fable, historic, poetic book that has no relevance for today. As a whole, church, we have to understand, where did that come from? It's pride. And we get to thinking we don't need this. We don't need God in our lives. I mean, envy. Full of envy. Whispers. How many of you walked into your job here lately and then they're over in the corner, there's somebody whispering. Whispers. I mean, it's just giving. Backbiters. Haters of God. I mean, you got folks holding up signs, I'm going to hell, and proud of it. How sad that the Christ of heaven died on the cross of Calvary to pay their sin debt, and here they have learned that there is no God, and they're going to... How do you think there's no God, but you're going to hell and proud of it? It kind of doesn't mix, does it? Doesn't mix at all. Despiteful. Oh. Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Okay. I think a couple of weeks ago we did a message on that. Not being caught up on looking at those that are inventors of devices of evil. And it seems though they prosper. But there's an evil. So it comes from a false wisdom. Look over in Proverbs chapter 26. Pride comes from conceit. Proverbs chapter 26. Told y'all 14 weeks, didn't I? This is point 2 of 7 of pride. Well, preacher, I got some other things to do next Wednesday. I won't be here. Proverbs 26 and verse number 12. I'll be there shortly. I stopped in Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 26 and verse number 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope for a fool than him. What warnings? Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool. So where did pride come from? False wisdom. Conceit. Look at me. I can do it. I don't need help. I've learned everything I can learn. I have arrived and achieved. You can't teach me nothing. I've said this for years, since I've been here 12 years, I've said this. If you have a young man or woman on your sports team that is uncoachable, they are unemployed for the first 5 years of their adulthood. They may get a job, they'll be fired, they'll quit, they'll come back, they'll get another one. Until life catches up with them. Conceit. Why is it our own conceit? Mark chapter 7. I think this will be the last place. We'll stop right here tonight. We'll pick up next week. I'll give you the thought for next week as we pick up. Let's start here. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This is one of those sub-points that takes about 42 minutes to explain, so we'll be out of here by 9 o'clock. Mark chapter 7 and verse number 21. Mark chapter 7, verse number 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy. What's the next one? Pride. Foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. I'll tell you something, young people, elderly people, middle-aged people. Follow the heart isn't the answer. This is from within. The heart is wicked above all. Who could know it? So what is pride? Pride is sin. Pride, it binds you. It gets you trapped in the box. It kind of makes you a soloist. Wouldn't it have been a sad day in Gideon's army if one of them would have been a soloist that night? There was only 300 of them scattered abroad. Trumpet, a lamp, with a cover. And if one of them would decide, hey, I think I got this. I don't know what he was talking about, but I am a commando. I can play 3 C sharps at one time. Beep! And then they have been attacked and killed. It binds you. Makes you think you're more than you really are. It's an abomination to God. Where does it come from? False wisdom. We need to retain God. Our hearts and our minds. We need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Teachers, Sunday school teachers, I'm telling you, it's so important that you take that time and you emphasize God. It's not time to catch up on what's happening with COVID. If you want to catch up with what's happening with COVID, come 45 minutes early, have some coffee, sit down and talk to COVID. But Sunday school time is about God. It's about Bible. It's about getting in the Scriptures. It's about ferreting out truths and principles that will help us to be able to stand in this evil day in which we're in. It comes from false wisdom. It comes from conceit. It's actually comes from within. I can't blame Brother Robert for my pride. Can't blame Brother Paul. Can't blame Sister Dyer. It's mine. When I stand in my own pride, different, I'm going to tell you, a fall is coming. It is coming. Next thing we're going to pick up with this thought. If you want to write it down, if you're keeping notes, this is it all. When does pride begin? When does pride begin? Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this evening, for the studies we had in the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that we can look at a subject such as pride. Lord, the sword is something that we all deal with. I don't think there's one of us that's exempt. Not one of us at all. God, help us to guard ourselves. Help us to retain you in our knowledge. Lord, everything that we do around the church, may be it emphasize and point and show and lift up Christ. Lord, we need you. Our nation needs you. We ask you, Lord, this weekend you'd work in the hearts and minds of those working with the teens around here. Give them a heart of compassion. God, maybe as those teens arrive here on the church property, they know that there's a church in this county that cares for their soul. May our people cry out even tonight and tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, that your Holy Spirit would deal with them to bring conviction. Or there's teens that could be going through all kind of issues, but they just need to know there's a church that loves God and it's on their side and believes in them. so easy to look at what's going on in this world, say our teens are a lost cause, but God, they're not. They're our youth. They're the strength of our church. The laborers that's needed. God, would you work in their hearts and lives? Bless us as a church and church family. Those that are ill, those that are sick, those making decisions, Lord, that will affect their lives for a long time. I pray, God, you'd give them wisdom. Bless us as we return to our homes. Keep us safe. Help us to be wise, careful. And Lord, as Brother Connie brought up, help us to be compassionate about the souls that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, you're dismissed. I hope you have a good evening.